Virgil, the murderer of the Archbishop of Paris. On January 3, 1857, Monsignor Cibor, Archbishop of Paris, was mortally wounded by a young priest named Virgil as he was leaving the church of Saint Etienne du Mont. The criminal was condemned to death and executed on January 30th. Up until the very end, he showed no feelings of regret, repentance, or sensitivity. Evoked on the day of his execution, he gave the following responses.
I am still retained in my body.
Hasn't your soul completely disengaged from your body?
No. I am afraid. I don't know. Wait until I can get my bearings. I am not dead, am I?
Are you sorry for what you did?
I was wrong to kill, but I was forced to do it by my nature. I couldn't take humiliation. Evoke me some other time.
Why do you want to leave already?
I would be very scared if I saw him. I would fear he would want to do the same to me.
But you have nothing to fear, because your soul has separated from your body. Banished all concerns. They are not reasonable.
What do you want? Are you always in control of your feelings? I don't know where I am. I've lost my mind.
Try to compose yourself.
I can't because I am crazy. Wait, I am going to try and get my thoughts back in order.
If you were to pray, would it help you to get your thoughts back in order?
I am scared. I wouldn't dare pray.
Pray, for God's mercy is great. We will pray with you.
Yes, God's mercy is infinite. I always believed that.
Now, do you have a better understanding of your situation?
It is so weird that I still can't figure it out.
Do you see your victim as being present?
It seems like I hear a voice. It sounds like he is telling me, I don't want you around anymore. But it must be my imagination. I tell you, I've lost my mind because I can see my body on one side and my head on the other. Although it seems that I live in a space between the earth and what you call heaven. I even feel the cold steel of the blade slicing through my neck. But that's only the fear I have of dying. It seems like there is a crowd of spirits around me, looking compassionately at me. They are talking to me, but I can't understand them.
Among those spirits, is there perhaps one whose presence you find humiliating because of your crime?
I would say there is only one whom I'm afraid of, the one I struck.
Do you recall your former lives?
No, everything is vague. I think I am dreaming. Again, I need to get my bearings.
3 days later. Have you gotten your bearings more by now?
I now know I no longer belong to your world, and I don't regret it a bit. I regret what I did, but my spirit is freer. I also know there is a series of lives that provide us with knowledge we can use in order to become as perfect as anyone can be.
Are you being punished for the crime you committed?
Yes, I regret what I did, and this makes me suffer.
How are you being punished?
I am being punished because I realize my wrong and I ask God to forgive me for it. I am being punished for my lack of faith in Him. And for knowing that we must not shorten the lives of our brothers. I am being punished by the remorse of having delayed my progress by taking the false path, and for not listening to the cry of my conscience telling me that it is not by killing that I would reach my objective. But I let myself be dominated by pride and jealousy. I was wrong and have repented, because men must always make an effort to control their evil passions, and I didn't.
What feeling did you experience when we evoked you?
Pleasure and fear, since I am not evil.
What does this pleasure and fear involve?
The pleasure of conversing with men and being able to partially pay for my wrong by confessing it. The fear I wouldn't know how to define, a sort of shame at having been a murderer.
Would you like to reincarnate on the earth again?
Yes, I have asked to, and I hope to be exposed often to being murdered and being in fear of it.
After being evoked, Archbishop Cibor said that he had forgiven the murderer and prayed that he would return to the good. He also said that although he had been present at the invocation, he did not show himself to Virgil so that he would not increase his suffering. The mere fear of seeing his victim was a sign of remorse and was already a punishment in and of itself. To the Monsignor, when choosing their new existence, do those who commit murder know they will become murderers?
No. They know that in choosing a life of struggle, it is likely that they will kill a fellow man, but they do not know whether they will actually do it or not, for there is almost always an inner struggle.
Verger's situation at the moment of his death is like that of almost all of those who perish as a result of violent death. The separation of the soul does not occur all at once, so they remain in a state of bewilderment and do not know if they are alive or dead. He was spared the sight of the archbishop because it was not necessary to excite in him feelings of remorse, whereas others, on contrary, are constantly chased by the sight of their victims. Verger added to and aggravated the enormity of his crime by not repenting before dying, and was therefore in full position to incur so-called eternal damnation. However, he had hardly left the earth when repentance dawned on his soul. He repudiated his past and sincerely desired to make reparations. It was not excessive suffering that drove him to make such a resolution, since he had not yet had the time to suffer. It was thus the sole cry of his conscience, which he had disregarded while alive, but which now he hears. Why wouldn't this repentance be taken into account? Why would something that could have saved him from hell a few days before death would not be of any value now? Why would God, who would have been merciful before his death, be without pity in a few hours afterward? We might be amazed at how quickly a change of ideas sometimes occur in the minds of the hardened criminals at the last minute, and whose passage to the other side is enough to make them realize the inequity of their conduct. This outcome is far from being the general rule, otherwise there will be no evil spirits. Since repentance is quite often slow in coming, punishment is prolonged as a consequence. Persistence in evil during life is sometimes the result of a pride that refuses to yield and acknowledge mistake, because humans are under the influence of matter, which casts a veil over their spiritual perception and deludes them. When this veil is lifted, the light suddenly dawns and they will find they have sobered up. The immediate return of better sentiments is always an indication of some moral progress which only waits for a favorable opportunity in order to reveal itself. On the other hand, those who persist in evil for a more or less prolonged period of time after death are undeniably less evolved spirits in whom the materialistic instincts have suffocated the seed of the good, and for whom the trial of new existences will be necessary in order for them to amend themselves.